Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 65 for September 3rd, 2008. Jack Cheese. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Visa. We all have things we like to think about. Online fraud shouldn't be one of them. Because with every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa. And by listeners like you. Thanks so much for your contribution. We couldn't do TWiT without it. From Petaluma, California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, I'm Amber MacArthur.
She knows where she lives. Hi, Amber.
I do. Hi, I didn't want to say, you know, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, because it's just, it's a mouthful.
All you need to say is Toronto. Everybody knows where Toronto is. It's time for Net at Night, the show that covers Web 2.0 by taking a look at great sites and talking to some of the people who make all the difference in the World Wide Web. Amber is the host of Command N, which is celebrating its, is it second or third anniversary today?
Third anniversary, believe it or not.
Wow.
So we're 3 years strong. So right after the show, I'm going to go out with Mikey Lazazara, who did the first episode with me, and Will Pate and the rest of our crew. And we're going to go shoot our 3 year anniversary special.
That's remarkable. That's,
I know,
really,
can you believe it?
Hard to believe you've been doing it 3 years.
I know. And you were there when it started, Leo.
I was
here.
I was there.
You were here.
Yeah, I was in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I've been on it a couple of times, too. So,
yes.
So today we're going to talk about Web 2.0, but we're also going to talk with a webmaster of a very famous person.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. On last week's episode, we had talked about how John Cleese, who we all love, is using the web to reach out to some of his fans. He's using Twitter. He has three websites. So we were wondering if we could track John Cleese down. Well, the good news is we were able to get in touch with him. Someone, thanks to a fan, we got in touch with his webmaster, Dean Whitbread. And Dean's going to join us tonight, and we're going to work on John Cleese for maybe October.
Oh, I'm excited. That sounds like so much fun.
I know. And Dean is the technical guy behind everything. So we'll be able to really geek out with him.
Oh, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So that's coming up soon.
Yes, very soon. Whenever you're ready, Leah, right after we talk about Visa.
Oh, all right. That is soon. My goodness. So this show brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Visa. Whenever you go shopping online... Hello. That's the Visa sound, I've decided. Whenever you go shopping online or off, you want to make sure to take along your Visa card with you. Why? Because with the Visa, it's safe. It's secure. That's the best part. Visa uses sophisticated technology to detect, resolve, and prevent online fraud. You never have to worry when you use your Visa card about who might be out there watching what you're doing, keeping an eye on you. No, not at all. Visa makes it safe and secure. And by the way, the best part is when you use your Visa card, there's zero liability. So no matter what happens, Visa will stand behind you. That's the real idea of peace of mind. That's safe. That's secure. That's Visa. Whenever we go shopping on Net at Night, we go shopping with our Visa cards. So let's get our guest on the line here, huh?
All right, let's do it.
Tell us a little bit about Dean while I give him a ring, why don't you?
Yeah, well, Dean, he manages, as I mentioned, John Cleese's, his web empire, if I can call it that. I think it's turning into an empire. So there are three websites. There are some online videos. There's the Twitter feed and much more. And I know they have lots of exciting plans in the future.
I'm excited. Hello, Dean. How are you?
I'm very fine. Thank you. How are you?
Very well. I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you. It's funny because I just, you know, the reason we called in the first place is we noticed that somebody saying their name was John Cleese was on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's John. He's really into Web 2.0. He used to, I don't know if you remember his old site, which was up fairly early on, but it was a big flash-driven thing. And
I do remember, you know, that. It was crazy,
It was crazy, but it was fun once you were into it, and it took a bit of navigation, and it was very expensive to change.
It was very Python-esque.
Sure, the designs and everything were superb, we thought, but you know, once you built it, to actually get it to develop and change and react to people is a difficult thing. With social media, it's completely different. So we thought, well, hang on, look, there's been a big sea change in the internet. And at that point, bear in mind, we were just John's English techies.
Right.
But we spoke words of wisdom, and we said, look, this is how the world does it now. How about we start a blog? How about we start using social media? And John's very open to these things, very open indeed. He's an early adopter. I don't know if you know this, but he was kind of responsible single-handedly for introducing the UK to video.
No, I didn't know that. How so?
Video.
Well, Sony paid him to do the adverts. They just paid him. He was the guy that
for the
said,
beta kit. The beta.
Yeah. Decks. Yeah. For Betamax. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Wow.
Yeah, he led the charge in the adoption of consumer video. So he doesn't need to be persuaded.
So I know that obviously he has a lot of passion for technology, but from our conversations and email, you also seem to be a pretty big geek yourself, right, Dean?
You know, I have to say, I started my company, Netcast Limited, in 1996. So,
yeah, you know, Netcast. You use the name Netcast. I like that.
Thank you. I thought you might appreciate that. And when you came up and said, listen, I'm not sure I like all this references to iPods, I was totally there. I agree with you completely. No, we got going early in the internet. I mean, I think 94, 95, I started up putting media online. Yeah. So I'm a bit of an old hand. But I'm an audio-visual geek. I'm not really a... You know, I mean, I have boxes, they're computers, they tell me that they work, and I like software, but I'm not really a tech geek. I'm an audio-visual geek.
Would you say that John is kind of a gadget geek, that kind of geek?
Everybody, him and everybody around him, they love, if I bring them new toys, their eyes light up.
That's how you get stuff done, I guess, Dean.
Yeah, but this will make you laugh, okay? The iPhone, the first iPhone came out, the 2G, right. and they all had one. And after a few weeks, you know, Gary Scott Irvine, who I work with, who's John's PA, who's also driving our social media exploration with John, and he said, you know, I have a few issues with the iPhone. I think we'll just email Steve. He meant Steve Jobs.
And did they? And so, did it work?
They did. Yeah. And a week later, Steve says, thanks very much. I've passed it on to the relevant people.
Wow.
I mean, so when you work with John, you know, he's always been one of these sort of A-list early adopters, and I think the people in the know that. So,
how did you come to meet him? How did you get involved with his operation?
Well, it's a very very simple thing. I mean, I used to run a company. I was in the web 1.0 business. End of sort of 97, 98, I saw that this was a bubble. It would burst. I got jobs for all my staff. I sold the company for a little bit, not lots. I took 2 years out.
Wow.
And when I came back, the debris had landed, cartoon style.
Right.
And I thought, this is going to rebuild and it's going to be much more interesting this time around. But I didn't want the problems of running a company again.
Right.
So I just had a few private clients, and one of them was John. And they could, you know, I was happy to just turn up and do anything for them. I didn't mind. I'd gone from being the MD of this rather whizzy company to be, I'll fix your printer. I don't care. And you know why he liked me? I saved him 60 grand. That's $120,000 in the first year. Because he's a rich guy, everybody sells him everything. So
all sorts of crap.
Yeah. And I said, look, we don't need this. Why have you got a 4 meg pipe? You need 64K. So he liked me for that. Yeah. Go on.
I would say, what are some of the earlier things that you did with John? I mean, you mentioned blogging, but are there some funny things you can look back on now that you thought were really advanced in the tech space?
Well, let me think. You know, John. He loves technology, but he's what he loves it for is what it does, not what
right.
it is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We can fetishize our MacBook Pros and you know, and we can go loony over Chrome, and he wouldn't know what we're talking about. But
right.
if you tell him, John, you no longer have to get past an editor, he's right there, because he's been edited all his life, and this is a guy that's always broken boundaries. You know, I don't know if I can say, you know, the SH asterisk T word on this show, but he was the first person to use that word on British television. And he likes to, you know, without being profane for the sake of it, he likes to blast through boundaries. Now, he's always had to fight first BBC and then Hollywood in terms of their prurience. Mm-hmm. And so for him to get a direct message out there, that was his thing. The tech side, you know, he lets us do it and says, okay, now leave me with it. So the last thing I did with him, for example, setting up Twitter, a lot of people are saying, is that John? Well, I've left Twitter on his machine. I'm not doing all that Twitter.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So you just said, hey, John, try this, see what you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
This is how it works.
By the way, I congratulate you. You put Twirl on there.
I did.
Yeah, and he obviously finds Twirl a little bit easier to use than anything else because he's using Twirl most of the time, yeah.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Twirl's a nice app. I think Seismic did a fantastic thing for buying it.
Well, and in fact, I'm loving it even more because they're really opening it up and they're going to start supporting my new little Twitter clone, the Twit Army, and other Laconica clones very nicely. I'm using an early release of Twirl that works so well. It just is wonderful and supports this XMPP standard, which I'll talk about a little bit later on the show. But that's for me, that's really the key is Twitter's great. Now, I've kind of gone past Twitter now saying, well, how do we open this up and make this a kind of a global thing? And Twirl, Loic and Seismic are really doing a great job with that. And Marco, who's doing the programming, are doing a great job with it.
So, well, we have something coming up, John, and with Seismic, which is this is something we haven't widely trialed, so it's a bit of an exclusive for you. But I'm happy to tell you that we'll be working with Seismic this month and next.
Are you going to do a little white label thing, you think?
I can't tell you more than that, but I'll tell you. But seriously, I mean, John understands the whole concept of video conversations. He knows that this is what he thrives on. He thrives on the directness.
Yes.
I'll tell you, John's Web 2.0.
I'm with him so absolutely, Dean. I completely understand that.
His Web 2.0 moment was this, okay? We worked hard and we put out the first of a premium video podcast for $1. I mean, it's nothing. You know, PayPal, you make 60 cents on the download. Right. It's nothing. But we wanted to do it because he had this kind of idea, and he's all about preparation. To get him to be spontaneous is actually quite difficult.
Oh, that's interesting.
But he did this. Yeah, you know, he's a writer. So we did the video, and it was kind of a sweat for him, and he kind of made much of it. And then, you know, he went for, you know, he was a bit down, a bit tired the next day, and he's out in Santa Barbara, and he goes for his breakfast with Gary. And when he's out there, a girl comes up, and she says, hey, John, I just want to say thank you so much for your podcast. This is the free podcast. Thank you so much. He said that 10 minutes in the morning, whenever there's one released, I go there, I play it over my breakfast, and I'm happy for the morning. Thank you. And he just brightened up visibly. That was his moment. He realized that he makes something, they get it. It's that simple.
And there are actually people out there that you can converse with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does he enjoy that interaction with the audience?
Yeah, I think he thrives on it.
Sometimes older performers don't. You know, it's like, I'm not sure I really want to talk to these people.
Yeah, maybe. I really think, I mean, he does a lot of it audiences with, and he did a one-man show last year, which he took around New Zealand, Australia, and then into the campuses of Southern State, the United States. And he likes the mix.
Yeah.
He's on record as saying that that he finds it slightly frustrating when people say, yeah, but the question and answer was the best because he spent all this time preparing.
It's true, though. The question and answer always is the best. That's I agree. I'm that way.
I mean, people love the spontaneity, don't
they?
That's what they love.
Exactly.
That's what they love.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about that direct communication, that's one thing I find with Twitter and all these sites is all of a sudden you have just one-on-one direct communication with another person. Do you see him, you know, he's using Twitter right now. Do you see you guys, are you going to be bringing on other social media tools? You mentioned one already, but are there other things in the works?
Yeah, we've got a forum. If you go to thejohncleese.com, which is his main URL, thejohncleese.com, there's a forum which has regular signups. You know, we're processing them. One or two a day on a regular basis, sometimes 10 a day, and it gets into Wired and it's 20. So we have a forum running. It's a nice, easy to use forum. It's not the PHPBB forum, so it won't get us a spam. He writes a blog.
Is that a lemur, by the way? What is that animal?
Yeah. No, that's the brand of lemur, not brand. That's a species of lemur that is named after that's named after Cleese.
Oh, he's kidding. He has a lemur named after him. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and an asteroid.
Yeah, I saw that named. He said Michael Palin has an asteroid named Sarah. What is John? I think he was joking, perhaps. There. He's always
taking the Mickey out of Michael. I mean, they rib each other. We have a blog. We have the blog. We've got a premium podcast. We got a or netcast. But anyway, you know those.
You're kind of going upstream with the premium netcast. Has that done well for you?
You know, it's a test. I mean, he's no Ricky Gervais. He's never going to get a million downloads, and he's not interested in doing anything.
Yeah, but I might point out that Ricky Gervais had a free podcast that got a lot of downloads and then went paid for a while and didn't.
Absolutely correct. The other thing that Ricky's got is he's still current on the BBC and in the States, whereas John, right. John's 68. So for him, you know, he'll just float something and see if it works. Bless him. I like that.
He's just having a good time at this point.
Well, he's opening up a direct route to the audience that he wants. The way that he sees the internet also is this. He knows that there are a lot of highly intelligent people out there. You know, the college-educated constituency of the internet is high.
Right.
Great, he thinks. Great. I can speak on a level. He can talk about obscure and wonderful bits of philosophy that he's interested. You know, he's a scientist as well as an artist. He's fascinated by, you know, the essence of reality and psychology and all of these things. So if he can have that high level discourse with an audience, great.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the appeal.
I interviewed John in the when A Fish Named Wanda came out in the 80s, and we had a wonderful hour long conversation about how comedy worked. And that was when I realized this man is not only very bright, but very analytic.
He is.
And very interested in how things work, how comedy works. He says, we could talk about how comedy works, but, you know, that's boring. I said, no, that's not. That's very interesting. How does comedy work? And he's
absolutely.
Yeah, put a lot of thought into it. So I could see how he'd be really interested in and want to get immersed in new media. This is the new thing, and it's great when, you know, I feel like I'm an old man in my 50s getting immersed in this. It's really great when us oldsters can still stay active and with it and on the cutting edge, and the internet gives you that capability.
Absolutely.
If you're open to it. And if you're lucky enough to have a Dean Whitbread to show you the way.
Yeah, I think the other thing is trust, because if you have a good client and you build up if you do a few things carefully and well, then they're going to let you do more, generally speaking. And that's the way it's worked. I mean, I've had a working relationship with John for 10 years. 10 years ago, when I was fixing his printer and saving him money, I wouldn't have looked forward and said, in 10 years' time, I'll be making videos with the guy destined for a big audience on the internet. How would I have known that?
Right.
But, you know, I think that's also to do with, well, I didn't take advantage of the fact that he was a big name. I just worked for the guy like he was a normal guy. And I think he appreciates that, which is something to be said for the man's character, really.
Yeah. You know, what I find sometimes with people who have bigger names or they're famous, they end up wanting to use these social media tools, but they're actually not active using them at all. They have someone else who's posting on Twitter.
You mean
they're not
Barack Obama isn't really posting on Twitter?
I hate to burst your bubble, Leo, but I don't think so.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
I know. Do you have some overall kind of, you know, words of advice for John and your team as far as how to, you know, keep this thing thriving and going forward and keeping it authentic?
Yeah, don't let it go quiet. If ever we go through even a week where not enough has happened, you must give out. You know, it's cast your bread upon the waters. It is a two-way thing. That's what we love about it. You can't easily have multiple intimate conversations because of human capacity, the Dunbar number. We are limited, you know, but once you move over that 140, 200 kind of comfortable limit, which human beings can really have relationships with, you're back into the broadcast space. And with things like Twitter and Laconica, Identica, isn't it?
Laconica is a software. Identica is one of the sites.
I'm by the way, I love that. Why? Because I'm Dean on it. Anytime I get my first name, I'm happy. I'm Dean on Pounce.
If you join army.twit.tv, I think we can guarantee you'll be Dean. But you'll have to do it quickly because somebody's going to take it any minute now.
do it for me, because by the time I come off this conversation, it's going to be gone.
It's going to be too late. All right, we'll sign up quickly.
But I think the big thing is just don't let it go quiet, because even once you're into that sort of the internet gets to be almost broadcast. It never is quiet, but I mean, at least it's going into the live space that broadcasters always occupied. You know, you're a broadcaster, you'll understand this. Once you go past that small group, intimate interactivity level, the next stage, or maybe the stage after that, is very much back to one to many, but it's not the same as broadcast, but at least it's kind of invading the live space they've owned for the last 60-70 years.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing. And something I've been trying to deal with exactly, because you don't want, you know, part of the thrill of this is not being a broadcaster, but it is true that you get to too many people. It is broadcasting. There's no way it cannot be broadcasting. So how do we make it more interactive than just standard one to many broadcasting? What email do you want me to use on your Twit Army account? You can say it. I'll mute the answer.
Okay. www.jonesy.co.uk.
I muted that. Okay, I've got it.
Thank you.
It's good to mute things.
Yeah, it's good to mute. That should be one of that should be an ad strap line.
Yeah, that should be actually. That's a great idea.
I want to give you some feedback, Leo, on that whole issue of broadcast.
I'd love to.
Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the show, and I can't remember. It's the first thing I ever heard of yours. You've got a lot of people listening, and you unmute them to say goodbye, and it's a wonderful, a telling moment, because you suddenly realize you're in the same room as all these people.
Wasn't that fun? We used to do that on the show. We're not doing it live that way. Oh, somebody's already got Dean. Dang it. Oh,
dang. Add a W. Dean W.
All right. And maybe the person who got it because they wanted to get it for you. Let's hope so.
Yeah, which happens all the time.
I can always delete them. I have the power. But yeah, that was the fun way. That was the fun way to end that show. And that's exactly why I did it, Dean. To remind you that, we're all here.
Yeah, and it was always very creepy in some ways, but in an amazing way. Remember all the voices coming from everywhere? Goodbye. Yeah. And they're all over the world. And it was just it was definitely a highlight of the show.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment because it restored the intimacy and made you realize that this really is not conventional broadcast. Right. We've gone on.
Right.
I loved it.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Sometimes you do things right, the right thing for the wrong reason. or maybe I should say accidentally. There is a lot of serendipity to how this all works.
I'd say so.
So you mentioned, Dean, that in October you have some things coming up. Is there anything else that you can tell us about? I don't want you to reveal all of your plans, but if you could tease us a little bit.
Sure, no problem. Well, Headcast has been up now for a while and it's working. And so we know that everything, we decided to construct our own download system, very straightforward. We've had so few problems with it that we know it's pretty robust. And it means that we can host the videos ourselves and just run a straight PayPal account. And we like that very much. You know, we're not having to rely on anybody. So that's good. So we're going to follow up his first offering with a couple more. And we're not going to charge much for them at all. We might up the price from $1 to $2 or $3, but that will be it. It's not about making money. It's really about just providing something which is, half hour, large files, something that's valuable, something that's collectible, if you like. So John's got a couple of those coming, and we're looking forward to shooting those September now, aren't we? So this month. And then early October, I'm over to the States, and I'm really looking forward to working with Seismic, who've done such amazing things to open up that whole video conversation space. I mean, I think Loic is a remarkable character. I mean, in terms of the way he's viewing Seismic as potentially a replacement for TV, nothing less ambitious. Now, whether he gets there or not doesn't matter, because the fact that he's got that ambition has really opened it up. And you're looking at, half a dozen other new things have come up. We've got Fred's in the UK. You've got the Vidyou. 12seconds.tv has come in.
Isn't that interesting? That's kind of the Twitter for video, yeah.
Yeah. All these different takes on how to use web video. And I like that very much. So the whole conversational angle of it is fascinating. Did you see what Seismic did with Spielberg and George Lucas?
No,
and
all that? What did they do?
Well, they had that indie film out, and a couple of enterprising Brits took themselves off to Cannes, and they stuck themselves in a hotel there, and they got Harrison Ford and Spielberg and George and was it Cate Blanchett was in it, I think?
Wow.
I think so, yeah. And guess what? Because it's the internet and not just run-of-the-mill TV or a film crew, they gave them extra time. And, you know, we're so used to on the internet side, we've only got the baby cameras. We can only just about afford a 3-chip camera. But here we are. And we get the 5 minutes and the networks get the hour, right?
It's no, the other way around. I love it.
Yeah, I love it, too. It's great. So maybe when you come in the fall, if there's a possibility to get both you and John on Skype and chat with you, that would be great.
Well, I will try for that because I think that once we're up and running and we're doing the work we've got to do, if it's the right half hour and we can organise it, well, I can only suggest things. John is his own man. He'll never be. He will be persuaded gently, but we never try and force him to do anything. You can imagine.
I completely understand. Now, and I agree with you on Seismic. We are going to get Loic on the show. In fact, I asked Loic to be on a couple of weeks ago, and he's traveling. In Europe right now, but when he gets back, we will have him on the show. And frankly, I think what he's doing with Seismic is even more interesting when you add Twirl into the mix. I think that turned out to be a very smart acquisition on his part. And Twirl is going to go far beyond what it is right now. And end up being, I think, it, in a way, end up being the platform. It's very interesting what he's up to. We'll get him on to talk. And I'd love to have you come back and have John come on, too. That'd be really fun. Jack Cheese, well, as he calls himself on his blog.
Well, you know his family name, but I think his father changed his name from Cheese to Please.
Yeah.
So Cheese was originally his father's name.
So he really is Jack Cheese. Now, Honest Jack Cheese. Are you based in Britain and he's based in the U.S. now, or...?
Well, you know, it's no secret that he's going through a divorce. He was quoted on the steps of the court as saying, "Yes, I'm going through a typically messy Hollywood divorce. It'll be worth every penny." that's more or less verbatim. So he's traveling. He's getting around. He's also working hard because, I mean, these things are expensive. I mean, and he's working up very, very hard. So he's been everywhere in the last few months.
Good for him.
Yeah, Europe a lot. He tends to come over every year anyway, but I think he's sold the ranch now. He was in
Santa Barbara.
Montecito.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that was you.
It's the most beautiful place in the world, actually. It's just gorgeous. Yeah.
I do love California. When I first got there, I couldn't work out why anybody would want to live on the San Andreas Fault until I saw it, and then I thought,
it all makes sense now.
He publishes regularly on his blog, and we're looking at it right now, cleaseblog.com. How does he do that? Does he do it from the web? It's a WordPress blog. Does he use the WordPress interface, or does he have his own desktop client?
It's the words arrive.
You do the work.
No. The words arrive. The words just get sent. And then, you know, he'd be probably pretty lost to actually work out, you know, what am I doing? A new page, a new post.
Okay.
And rather than get, you know, phone calls at embarrassing moments, you send us the words.
Yeah.
And I admit that I do find some of the pictures.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really nicely done. And then do you think he reads the comments ever?
Yeah, no, he does.
There are a lot of them.
He does.
Yeah.
He reads the comments. He goes to his, sometimes he goes into the forum and he posts a little bit in there. It's cool.
That's really cool.
That's great.
I love it.
That's very cool.
And it was your choice to use PodPress for the podcasting engine on there?
Yeah, it's a really, really cool technology, isn't it?
It works great. Yeah. In fact, you see, if you go to cleaseblog.com, the second post there is August Radio 4's IPM podcast, and it's right there embedded on the page. PodPress makes it possible to do that, and then it automatically turns it into a feed, and it's a really amazing plugin for WordPress.
Yeah, it is very. It's one of the best.
Yeah.
My two favorite plugins for WordPress, they've got to be PodPress and Akismet.
Yeah, thank God for Akismet. What's your spam number up to now?
Oh wow, God, let me think.
It's pretty amazing when you
five.
See. Yeah, I can just check on mine real quickly. I think it's the 40 or 50 thousands. Just in a year, and that's all the spam that would be in the comments in a year. It's really kind of it's amazing. Oops, let me turn that off.
And, that was cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's because I always love it when it echoes.
My video is on my video is embedded on my blog page, so when I go there, we suddenly get it echoing back to me.
Okay,
I gotta be careful about where I embed my video and where I go after I do that. I just wanted to see what my Akismet. Current Akismet numbers are 69,158 spam comments.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree with you, Dean. Akismet, the best plugin. It rocks. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. It's just incredible. We've started using, I started using Discus as the comment system on my blog, and I'm just in love with it.
It's a beautiful concept. I love the fact that you can actually have video comments. I think that is so cool.
Via Seismic.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked Vinvin, you know, Cyril, aka Vinvin, who's the VP. They've got two VPs in Seismic. You've got Cyril, mm-hmm. aka Vinvin, mm-hmm. Who's content, and you've got Johan, who is the head, the CTO,
right,
head of technology. Now, I asked Vinvin, I said, how did you decide to buy Twirl? He said, Loic woke up one day, decided to do it, came in, and it's tired.
Loic had a vision. You may not be immediately apparent, but it turns out, I think, in fact, that Twirl is going to be the key holding on that company and should integrate beautifully with Seismic.
It makes him a bit like Paul McCartney, who woke up with yesterday in his head.
Right. You know? There it is. Oh, yeah, I don't know where it came from, but thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it was really funny. I mean, them saying, you know, then we had to work out whether it was going to do it.
Yeah, know, what can we do? Yeah. The guy who's doing development on Seismic is named Marco. Is he? It must be the original developer who's just continued to work on it. I would imagine. I can't imagine they took over.
No, that's what I believe. In fact, they've got a history of keeping people with technology. There's a guy called Critter.
Critter was an early seismic,
very good. Early seismic user, an air developer, mm-hmm. and it was a 20-minute interview. And you know, he lost one job. We got a job with Seismic. That's it. Thank you. I mean, they're very cool like that.
Oh, well, Marco Kaiser is doing a great job, and he's working on a custom version of Twirl for us for our Twit Army. I have been told that the person who quickly stole Dean was actually listening to the show, and that's how he got Dean. And he's going to give it to you, so you will be Dean.
Oh, that's great.
You will be Dean on the Twit Army. As you can see here, if you're nice to Marco, he'll give you a Twit Army version of Twirl that really is fantastic for this.
Oh, that's cool.
And I understand that at some point, very soon, they hope to create, right now it's one window per Twitter, one window for Identica, one window for Army, but at some point they hope to combine all of these into a single window, which will make it an even more interesting play. They're up to. We'll talk to Loic very soon. And Dean, I cannot thank you enough for spending some time with us. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Dean. This was great.
Thanks, Amber, and thanks, Leo. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care, Dean Whitbread. Dean, do you have a site that you'd like to plug? That's your own site.
DeanWhitbread.com.
There you go.
There are links in the sidebar. It's so conventional.
We'll make sure.
Isn't it funny? The cobbler's kids, you know. The guy who designs the site for John Cleese, of course, doesn't spend any time on his own site. Actually, this looks good. I like it. It's
cool enough. I mean, the links are what makes it cool. I just keep that going so, you know, so that I'm not the last thing Whitbread in Google's list. You know, that's the only reason. All of the stuff is interesting is down the right-hand side. You can see what I did.
I see, yeah. All the stuff's there. And I like the dictionary definition of career, a long downward tumble.
That's great.
Dean, thank you
so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. And we'll keep in touch for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully I'll see you in the fall.
That'd be great. We would love to see you. Take care.
Be well.
Come up to the Twit Cottage, so we can have you in studio, which would be really fun. I'll never forget my interview with John Cleese. He's just such a gracious man, but also very smart and just so much fun to talk to. Must be fun. I guess every Hollywood star has a guy like Dean, at least if they're interested in technology, has a guy like Dean who does the technology for them. I've talked to a number of people who say, oh yeah, I'm George Clooney's tech guy, or I'm Gwyneth Paltrow's tech guy. That would be a fun gig, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, remember when we had Kevin Spacey on and we talked to, I'm blanking on his name right now.
Dana Brunetti. Yeah, is his tech guy. Yeah. Yeah. But Dana is more than that. I mean, he does.
Oh yeah, for sure. He definitely does more, but he definitely is the sort of web guy in the sense that he's the one who's kind of passionate about technology. But it's lots of fun. It would be great if you could get John Cleese up to the Twit Cottage. Wow.
Well, that's my goal. We'll see.
That would be fun.
I have high aspirations. It was fun. We had Robert Llewellyn, Bob Llewellyn in last week. He was, plays a character called Crichton in a British show called Red Dwarf that is just hysterical science fiction comedy. And it was so much fun to have him in. And so we're getting some people in here. We're getting some celebrities.
That's good. Lots of fun.
Yeah.
So Leo, we have a few links we can talk about just to wrap up the show.
Before we do that, let's do our Audible pick. What do you say?
Yes.
The show, as always, brought to you by the good folks at audible.com. They do the best audio. I don't want to say audio books. I think that's doing them a disservice. They really do the best audio entertainment you've ever heard. Comedy shows, radio shows, speeches. It's all online at audible.com. In fact, if you go to audible.com/night right now, you can sign up in the U.S. only. You can sign up and get a credit toward a free book. Now, I say in the U.S. only, but actually works in many countries, it's just unpredictable. So we can guarantee it works in the U.S. Audible is all over the world, but every country has a different publishing house for every book, and then the agreements are complicated. And so the books that we talk about may or may not be available worldwide. It just really depends on the publishers and all of that stuff. So it gets very complicated. But I can tell you, in the U.S., if you go to audible.com/night, I can promise you If you've not signed up yet, a free book from audible.com. Now, you got an email from somebody recommending Stephen Colbert's I Am America and So Can You.
Yes. And I wasn't sure if we had, I think we had talked about that. But
I think we've recommended it before, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But he had written because, he says Stephen Colbert reads it and it's really, really good. So I thought it was kind of fun to start to get some suggestions from listeners as well.
Oh, yeah, I love that. You can send him to leo@leoville.com. You know who else sent me a note saying, thank you for recommending my book on Net at Night? John Hodgman. We recommended his book,
awesome.
The Areas of My Expertise. He said, when am I getting on the show? So we'll get John Hodgman on at some point.
We should get him. I just emailed him recently, actually, just because I was trying to connect with him on Twitter and it wasn't working. So I stalked him on Flickr. that's what I mean about that whole direct, we were talking to Dean about that direct one-on-one conversation with people. It's so great how that can happen instantly online.
Well, and I think that... there is, there's always been kind of this idea of celebrities in the rest of the world. And as you say, now we can kind of bridge that gap a little bit. But also there's some real interest among the smarter celebrities like the John Cleese's of the world, the John Hodgman's of the world, in what technology can offer them in terms of doing their own thing. I loved hearing Dean say, for John, it's always been about fighting the censors and he was always wanted control of what he's doing. And I think that that's really what's exciting. So I think in some ways these celebrities like John Hodgman, John Cleese, were of interest because we have figured out how to do that, how to transcend. John Cleese does have a number of books on audible.com, including one that I have recommended before, not on this show, but on another show that I just loved. He did The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, and he does a brilliant job reading that. And I think there may be some connection here because The Screwtape Letters is about is Satan writing to one of his lesser demons about how to ensnare humans, and then later Cleese read Dante's Inferno.
So, interesting. Maybe you shouldn't have him at the Twit
Cottage.
Maybe
there's a little something going on with John Cleese. Maybe there's, yeah, exactly. Let me play a little bit of John Cleese reading Dante's Inferno.
Made me search your book in patient study, avail me, master. You are my guide and author, whose verses teach the graceful style, whose model has done me honor. See this beast driving me backward.
See, if I had had John Cleese to read it to me in college, I might have done a better job of understanding it.
I totally agree.
Man, is he good. Oh, I love him.
Yeah, John he's Cleese. Great. I love his voice.
And of course, there's a lot of Monty Python on Audible as well. A great place to go if you like listening to books, listening to lectures, to comedy. If you're listening to podcasts, this is just expanding your universe by an order of magnitude. Audible.com/night for your free audiobook. Try it out today. I think you're going to love it. Audible.com. All right, let's get our links. You've got a whole bunch of them here.
I know. I have about 10 minutes left, so I'm sure we can get through these. As far as our headlines of the week, of course, you couldn't read any blogs without seeing Google's name mentioned everywhere about services that they're launching. But I guess the biggest one was probably their new browser, Chrome. So there's lots of buzz about that. I haven't actually tried it out yet. I mean, it's officially not launching, I guess, until tomorrow.
No, it came out. No, it's out.
Oh, did it come out? I thought it had. Okay, I wasn't sure exactly when
today,
it came out.
Today was the day, and it was a little hard to get. They put it out at noon today.
Oh, okay.
And I downloaded it as quickly as I could, and it's very fast. It's remarkable.
That's what I've read that it's very fast. I love the how they put the tabs on top of the actual browser instead of like Firefox, where they're kind of at the bottom of the menu bar, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense.
Look at this too. They've added something they call the incognito window.
Oh, yes. I read about that.
I think this is a very good idea. When you're using Chrome, this is Chrome here I'm showing on the screen, and you choose an incognito window, pages you view in this window won't appear in your browser or search history. They won't leave other traces on your computer. Any files you download or bookmarks you create will be preserved, but everything else will be... It says, going cognito doesn't affect the behavior of other people's servers or software. Be wary of surveillance by secret agents. Or people standing behind you. But that's one. I mean, there's a lot of features. I mean, I think the key is it's fast. The Google search is integrated into the address bar. So if instead of typing ambermacarthur.com, I just type Amber MacArthur into the address bar, it'll go right to a Google search for Amber McCarthy.
Yep, which is great.
Including some great pictures of you.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, it totally makes sense, I think, for them to have their own browser. And, you know, it's funny because they're so closely aligned, obviously, with Mozilla Firefox as well. But I can't wait to play with it.
Yeah, I've been playing with it. And the main thing that you see immediately is how fast it is. I mean, it's just it's lightning fast. And the reason is it's, by the way, it's based on WebKit, which is the open source browser engine that was originally based on KHTML. Safari is also based on WebKit, the Mac browser, which is a good thing because Google Chrome isn't yet available on the Mac side. It's only for Windows.
Know.
But I tell you what, it is so fast. It's going to be my it's going to be my browser of choice on Windows, I think. It's very simple, clean, fast. It is compliant with web standards, so pages should look good in it. And it seems like the main reason they wrote it was so that web-based applications like Gmail and Google Docs would run better. And I haven't tried those yet in it, but I imagine it's going to make a big difference with those. I mean, that's what it's designed to do. Also multi-threaded, by the way. So on modern computers that have multiple processors, which means almost any new computer, you're going to get much better performance.
Hey, Leo, any word on when they're coming out with a Mac version?
You know, when you go there on a Macintosh, google.com/Chrome, it says, give us your email address, we'll let you know. I don't think it's going to be long, Amber, because, in fact, Linux and Mac versions should be fairly easy to write. Because it's based on WebKit, which is an open source project that was originally based on Linux, has been heavily developed on Mac. In fact, I think the Windows version would have been the hardest to write. Another interesting thing about Chrome is that Google has used its own search engine to make Chrome better. I mean, who looks at more web pages than Google? So they have a special Chrome spider that goes out and traverses the web and tests web pages. So in theory, this browser should do the best job of rendering the largest number of pages out there.
I love the massively long comic that they're using to promote Chrome as well to talk about how it was developed. And I don't know if you had a chance to look through that at all.
I did. In fact, all the features I just mentioned, I know about because I read the comic. The comic actually is great. I think it was a brilliant idea.
It's really good. It's long. Yeah, it's definitely long. So that's a lot of fun. Sorry, I just my door is getting knocked out because we have the commandant team coming. I'll try to keep them.
Also, you're cutting in and out a little bit. I don't know if you started downloading Chrome or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not downloading anything, actually. Yeah, that's weird. Is it okay now, Leo, for a second?
Nah, it's cutting in and out a little bit, but that's all right. I see Mikey behind you.
Okay. Oh, Will, actually.
Is that Will? All right. Hey, Will.
Yeah, that's Will. He's waving. So, Leo, is it okay to go through a couple more links, or is it really...
It's cutting. Let me tell you what. Let me hang up on you real quick, and we'll sometimes with Skype, if I hang up and start over, it's better. So let me call you right back. It might be also because we were on that call together, on the conference call together. It might be that. Whoops, that's Dean's number. I don't want to call Dean again. It might be because of that conference call that sometimes that happens, that the bandwidth gets adversely impacted when we leave the conference call. So let me call you right back.
Hello.
I'm sure that's going to be much better.
Okay, I won't turn my video on now, just in case.
All right.
Okay, so the next link I want to talk about is Ustream.tv, and I just read this on Mashable before we got on the show, and I didn't have a chance to watch the video. I couldn't find it right away, but it turned out someone did broadcasting of a live birth on Ustream.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
I don't know if that's such a... That seems like such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, just slightly. just slightly.
Dad, how would you feel as a woman to say, oh, yeah, let's just broadcast this to the world?
Not so good. But, you know, the thing is, it was bound to happen. I would say that, you know, it was only, I mean, I've thought of that from the moment that all of these live streaming sites launched online, is that there's going to be some really weird stuff that people do live just because they can. And I think this is the first of many.
By the way, he was Twittering at the same time. Man, I would divorce this guy immediately. don't you think? Yeah. I mean, look, you're busy having a baby. He's going, honey, I got to Twitter about this. I got to broadcast this on Ustream. I don't think that's a very, I don't know.
That's a little much.
If I had done that, my wife would have said, you're out of here, dude. Get that.
Yeah, I'd be taking the camera and I'd be throwing it real far, real fast.
Yeah, his name is Paul Saarinen. And on Twitter, he is TAULPAUL. Twitter.com/TallPaul, and he's from Minneapolis. And, you know, it's funny because now that he did that, I don't notice a whole lot of talking about his wife or his baby on his Twitter feed. You kind of got to wonder, maybe this was a hoax.
Yeah, maybe. And or if it wasn't, hopefully there was no immediate separation involved.
I have to really wonder if this really is.
I don't know, Leah, but if it was a hoax this time around, it's going to happen. I mean, I hate to say it, but I totally believe it. There's a couple in Europe. I can't remember the name of the site offhand, but it's called 9 months or something like that. And this woman is doing live video blogging of her entire pregnancy. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, you know what? I don't know how far they're going to go with it, but they get pretty graphic about the details. And I'm sure that, you know, by the time she has the baby, who knows if they'll be in there. But, you know, people like to experiment the technology in weird ways. What can I say?
you're right. If this isn't real, somebody's going to do it. But
it's just a matter of time.
I kind of feel sorry for the baby and the mom. And I really have to say, I've scanned now 4 pages. He hasn't mentioned a baby or a wife or a family in this whole thing, and he's talking about all the parties he's going to. I got to think. I don't know if this really happened.
Or they kicked him out.
Yeah, he's back on the streets.
He's back on the streets. So who knows what happened there, but it'll be fun to research it a little bit more.
Yeah.
It is interesting. It's such an interesting conversation, you know, whether it necessarily happened right now or not. It's one of those things where you can get into some good dinner time conversation.
Well, who am I to say? I mean, I'm broadcasting pretty much every element of my life. My daughter's going to come by and say goodbye as she leaves to France. I mean, I'm probably the last person to complain about this.
Yeah, but you're not, you know.
I didn't put the birth
on the table in stirrups, you know.
Yeah.
And if that ever happens, I'm done with Twin. Let me just.
Yeah, no, not gonna happen. Let me tell you about my vasectomy. I'm gonna live blog it. What do you say?
Leo, it's not going to help Twin.
Not
going to
help Twin. No, you're not going to see that, I promise.
Anyway, let's move on to something a little cleaner. Gary Vaynerchuk and I guess maybe it's his brother and a couple of other people, they've launched a t-shirt search engine called PleaseDressMe.com.
I think this is kind of inspired.
I was really excited. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's a nice looking site. It's very web 2.0. You can search for t-shirts based on colors and other search items as well. And there are all these kind of, you know, kind of new age t-shirts from Threadless and other websites. And they did a nice job on it. I have to say,
it's a search. Remember, it's a search engine. They're actually not selling t-shirts. They help you find t-shirts. They have a widget that you could put on their site and so forth. Do you think they're getting affiliate fees? I mean, is this a profit-generating enterprise?
I would think so. I mean, I could see Gary getting involved in it if there was some sort of business level, just because I see him as a pretty good business guy. So
I've searched for Twit. I don't see t-shirts with either of those words in them.
That's so funny. I searched for Twit. That was the first thing that I did.
Yeah.
I find the searching for words a little bit weird. Like, I would never do that. When the search engine to me became at all relevant, I love the color green. I mean, this is kind of lame, but, you know, I love green, like bright green. So I just did a search on green t-shirts and I saw, they have a lot of really nice green t-shirts. So I think, you know, depending on your preferences, there are some neat ways to kind of search through the t-shirt site. And let's face it, if you go to one of those t-shirt sites like Threadless, there's not a ton of t-shirts there. So it's nice to have sort of a bigger collection.
Well, I think I've solved the conundrum of how they're making money on this. I went to one of the t-shirts from Stone Jungle, and I noticed at the end of the URL, there is in fact an affiliate code. So this is actually inspired. People will use this. They will search for t-shirts, and every t-shirt that is sold through this search engine puts money in the pocket of the Vaynerchuks.
Yep.
Another win for Gary Vaynerchuk.
Another one. And it's a great great domain name as well, pleasedressme.com.
Isn't
I thought
clever?
That was kind of creative. Well, especially in these days when it's hard to find good website names. It's you have to be pretty clever like that,
right,
I think.
Right.
So the next site we're going to talk about, which is kind of my web app pick of the week. This is a site that I relied on heavily yesterday. I was doing a story about Hurricane Gustav and all of the different videos and tweets online, and I was addicted to tweetscan.com. You put in a keyword, and then you can see what people are tweeting about, and it's just a fun way to be able to narrow down some of the content on Twitter.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about this kind of thing, which has a lot to do with this whole move toward Twit Army and Laconica and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of thing is, frankly, the way to use Twitter. I think much more so than just reading the public feed or your feed. But in fact, being able to scan Twitter, some eyes made Twitter so useful. Track, which used to be a feature. Remember, you could type in your IM track Amber MacArthur and any tweet that had the words Amber MacArthur, or track SXSW at South by Southwest, and any tweet that had that. That was very useful. And Twitter turned that feature off. They bought some eyes. They pretty much shut down the feed that would make this possible. And I think Twitter's realizing this is the most valuable part of Twitter, is this stream of information that can be searched. The problem with TweetScan and some eyes is they're not real time. You really want to see these tweets. What you really want to do is track Gustav, and as a tweet comes in, see it immediately, right? Then you can get in the conversation. You can know what's going on in real time. And so this is great. I love TweetScan.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, though. It's like, I remember when Dig launched Dig Spy, so you could see the stories coming in live, and I used to sit there and just watch it all the time.
Much more useful, yeah.
But it is much more useful. But I think that the concept is there, and I totally agree. I mean, for the average person, Twitter isn't necessarily that useful. When you go to the site, you don't know any of the people necessarily. Like, there's a bunch of random information, right? From, you know, whether it's your followers or whomever. And this is a nice way to be able to go and just kind of narrow down on what people are talking about. So, yesterday, it was a total gem for me.
So they're taking the stream of both Twitter and Identica. They could actually, if they wanted to, add Twit Army as well, because we put out a standard stream. There's a Twitter API for this, but there's also an XMPP API, which is a much better API. And I'm getting very involved. I know this gets very inside baseball, but I'm getting very involved. Well, I think it's important to everybody in the notion of opening up XMPP and opening up the silo of information that's in Twitter, and letting everybody have access to this, because so many great tools can be built around this incredible amount of knowledge that's being spit out. And Twitter and FriendFeed and Plurk and Rejaws and all these sites really need to start moving to this open standard, this XMPP standard, and support it and allow it to go out there so people can use it and create things like TweetScan, which really add. By the way, when I went to TweetScan, you see here it says, this page contains ubiquity commands. You know about a ubiquity?
No,
I love it. This is a Firefox plugin.
Too, actually, from Firefox. Yeah. We just talked about it last week on Command N.
Our Merlin Mann wrote a really great blog post about it. Unfortunately, you have to use Firefox to take advantage of it. Because there's a ubiquity command in here, I can just press the subscribe button. It will add this command. It's a little JavaScript piece to my site. I'm going to say, yep, and I want to auto-update this feed. And now I set my ubiquity command strokes to option space. And then this will allow me to do kind of, I guess if for anybody's used Quicksilver on the Mac, this is the idea, allows me to type short commands and issue them. And this is really cool. For instance, I can type ARMY and go and post to the Twit Army, or I can type Twitter and post to the Twitter Army because I've added these, or Twitter Army, post to the Twitter site because I've added these commands. This is a really powerful tool within Firefox. Aza Raskin, who is... the son of Jeff Raskin, the man who passed away recently, but he created the Macintosh and the whole idea of user computing, easy computing. And Aza really has taken on his father's mantle and run with it. And this is really exciting. Ubiquity is well worth finding out about and subscribing to. If you use Firefox, I love it. I think it's just fantastic.
That's awesome. So, Leo, we just have one more link, and this is our podcast of the week. Mike Carano sent me an email to his podcast. He's done quite a few episodes. It's all video, and it's called 5 Minutes with Mike, and he does a nice job of it. You know, it's more, I can't say specifically what he talks about. It's really a kind of random. It's like 5 minutes of Mike walking around his house or talking about different things, but what I...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. What I liked about it is that his production quality is pretty good, but I also love the idea that he narrows down the time, because I think that's why 12seconds.tv is so popular, is that people are really strapped for time online. So the idea that he's like 5 minutes with Mike, you know that your investment is only 5 minutes long, and he gets pretty creative, and he seems to have a lot of fun with it.
Let me play a little bit of it. This is episode one.
This is called 5 Minutes with Mike. Nonsense, rambling, stupid ideas and retarded stories, all in about 5 minutes. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope I don't make that weird noise with my mouth again.
It's a pretty high quality video. It's done in QuickTime, which is interesting.
Yeah, he does it. He does a nice job of it. I thought for people out there who are just thinking of experimenting a little bit with video podcasting, it's kind of a fun one to watch.
Yeah, 5 minutes with Mike. It's at Mike Carano, MikeCarano.com.
Yeah, and he's done quite a few of them.
Is he just standing there, or he shows stuff?
He's all over the place. He's kind of, like I said, it's very random. It reminds me a little bit of blogging, you know, way back in the day when people would just like write random things about what they ate for breakfast.
It's so easy to use, especially with these new flip cameras and the little inexpensive flash cameras. It's so easy to make this stuff now that I think we're going to see that video might be the new thing, huh? Which is good, because I hate writing. It's too much work.
Oh, you know what? Like, Twitter has made me stop blogging completely. Like, I can barely get a blog post out. It's
torturous. 140 characters. That's all I got in me.
I know. And now I'm thinking 12seconds.tv is the best creation for video in the world. So I don't know what's happening to us, Leo, but it's pretty pathetic.
Short attention span. That's it.
I know.
So, Amber, I know you've got to go and celebrate your third anniversary. Start the video up so we can see who's there with you. Your third anniversary of CommandN.TV. You've been doing this for 3 years, and you're bringing together Will Pate, who is currently your co-host, right?
Yeah, Will Pate is here, so I'll get him to come over and wave to the camera.
And has Mikey showed up yet, or is he late as usual?
Mikey is late. Mikey's late, Will.
Hey, Will.
There's Will.
Mikey, where are you, buddy?
And Chris is shooting and editing, and he's here as well.
Have you put the new transitions and graphics in yet, or is this going to be the first episode?
They're going in this episode, so
this is exciting.
We're excited. Yeah, all new graphics, which are really nice. Our friend Vic did them. We worked with him at City TV, so he's a very, very professional. He does a lot of stuff for like MTV, and so they're definitely a step up. And we're getting Mikey back whenever he comes here. He's probably locked out outside, if I know Mikey.
So or smoking. So this will be the episode 147. And, this is exciting. We're going to get to see the new graphics and celebrate your third anniversary. Hard to believe.
It's very exciting. Leo, I have one other thing to celebrate, because our little Mikey has moved out of his parents' basement, and he just got a new pad this week.
What?
Yes.
He finally has his own place?
Yep. He has his own place. He's moving in with a friend of his, and he's moving about 2 blocks from me. Maybe a block and a half.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's very funny. Oh my goodness.
I know. So I got to tease him about that whenever I find him.
Whenever he shows up.
I know.
Amber MacArthur, a great pleasure as always to talk to you. It's been fun, and boy, what a great guest. It's really fun to talk to Dean and about John Cleese and about new media, and we got to get them both on again sometime very soon.
Oh, definitely. That'll it was lots fun. Of fun.
Yeah. Have a great anniversary. Amber's at ambermac.com. Her show is, of course, commandn.tv. And you can see her now on CP24. In fact, the Vegas cabbie piece went up, right?
It sure did. Yeah. Sure did, and lots more since then.
All right. All right, Amber, take care.
Bye, Leo.
We'll see you next time on Net at Night.